My guest this evening is Laura Gibson, a wonderful and very busy singer-songwriter from Oregon. She's a darling of critics, of YouTube viewers, and especially of public radio listeners. She's become known for working across genres and working with many different kinds of musicians, and has just released a brand new CD and made some time to stop by the studios here at Wisconsin Public Radio for a little bit of live music and conversation. Welcome, Laura.
Oh, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
And I should mention, you are not alone.
Yes, I've been touring with a four-piece band, and I dragged them all along with me. So
in the studio with us here, we have Brian Perez, who plays lap steel and bass guitar. I think today you're just going to be doing some vocals, Brian. And then Matt Berger is the percussionist. He's playing a floor tom. And John Whaley, believe it or not, will be playing flugelhorn and piano. So we do have quite a band.
Yeah, and this is the stripped-down version of the more full band. So it's really nice to play this way.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. We think of earlier Laura Gibson as being very minimalist. And here you are with a complete orchestration and arrangements and all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always, since my first record, really paid attention to arrangements and been excited about weaving instruments together. But I think I've also paid a lot of attention to space. And I still have that love of space, of open space and songs, but I also really was excited to kind of flesh out the songs and really dwell in the arrangements for a while until there's big moments and smaller moments, and tried to weave a lot of things together to make the sounds I was excited about.
The new CD is called Le Grand.
Yeah.
what is that?
Yeah, well, Le Grand is a town in eastern Oregon, originally named by French-Canadian fur trappers. So it was, at one point in history, I'm sure it had the original French inflection. But it's a town, and I actually took a visit out there right when I was beginning to record the record. And it was one of those trips where I was putting a lot of my ideas together and kind of deciding where I wanted to go, both in music and in my own life. And so that trip out to Le Grand really served as a catalyst for this record. And so when it came time to name the record, I had a song about Le Grand that I knew would be the first song on the record. And then it just felt right to name the record Le Grand. And I also really liked the idea that someone would pick it up in France and think that it said the great Laura Gibson, or in Spain and think it was saying the big Laura Gibson there. So I thought that was a fun extra meanings in there.
Oh, if I absolutely. Name it after the town. And the CD certainly lives up to that thought.
Oh, thanks. So
well,
much.
Why don't we hear the title track from that CD? The name of the song is Le Grand.
Yes, and it's really written about the town and my experience there.
When the moon carves a trail down the pine and bearded hills, and a ghost wind hollers to the early morn, and the starlings return to the old sugar mill, stealing their corn from the grower's field of hull. Our spirits in the dancing halls of swing. be as old and stubborn as a pine, but I am just as wild as the young. When our ribbon is curved round those blue shadowed hills, and the hot steel is humming down the Union line, whip thin hickory, black tap tap in our sad face, chatter into rhythm and rhyme. Wah, ah, ah, we are one. Ah, ah.
Grand. That's Laura Gibson and her band. Wow, what a driving feeling.
Oh, thanks so much.
It's just got so much going on. There's you talked about that open sense, but there's also such a rich layering of sounds and rhythm, and it really evokes that sense of being in some big sky kind of a place.
Ah. Oh.
Is that what La Grande is like?
Yeah, well, it's a mountainy area, but it kind of comes, it's kind of a little crop of mountains in the middle of low rolling hills.
It's interesting to hear you talk about you can hear the whistle blow and smell the sage burn, and you give us, you know, sort of a 360 of the senses.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually got interested in the town of La Grande because I was researching historic train wrecks in Oregon. And so I took a visit to the train station, and it's not really used as a train station anymore. And so they were so excited that someone wanted to come get a tour of the train station, because it's mostly just a place, these days, a place where people take their lunch breaks that are working within the train system. And so had to include the train in the song.
Absolutely. Neat. Well, you're a native of Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And spent a lot of time in the Portland area.
Yeah, I grew up on the south coast of Oregon and then moved up to Portland about 9 years ago.
Last year here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we were fortunate enough to have a number of the cellos from the Portland Cello Project in for an interview. That was really nice. And I know you were touring with them, and we missed you at that point. But it makes us wonder what kind of great collaborations are always happening in Oregon. You hear about all of these. You've worked with the Decemberists and other musicians.
Yeah, I feel so lucky to be in a really rich and supportive community.
Let's hear another song from your new CD. What would you like to do next?
Yeah, we'll do a song called Milk Heavy Pollen-Eyed.
Milk Heavy Pollen-Eyed.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that title.
Yeah, well, you know, I pulled it from images in the song. And I almost felt like it was about these two characters that are trying to do their own thing, but have a gravity pulling them back together. And one of them, I have a line with, says, I have a milk heavy heart, and says, I will clear the pollen from your eyes. And so it's always so difficult to come up with titles, but I thought that would kind of present the two people in the party as long and easily mispronounced as the title is. It felt like it fit the song.
All right, here's Laura Gibson and her band with Milk Heavy Pollen Eyed.
One, two. as I may to carve my path, I cannot keep myself from stumbling back to you. And you'll say, don't you ever lose your heat, don't you ever be caught shedding your skin too soon. Find me with a milk heavy heart, and I would clear the pond from your eyes. I would, for love has got you hanging off my hips like a worn out dress with my skin showing.
Heavy, pollen-eyed. Love that line about shedding the skin. That's really visual, evocative kind of line. You have so many of them. How did you start as a songwriter? Are you a poet? Do you have a literary background? Or
you know, I don't. I wrote poetry growing up, and these little rhymy, very song-like poems. And I never really played music. I tried out. I think I always wanted to play music. I would try out for like the high school musical production, but didn't. I was always too shy to sing out enough to. I ended up doing curtains.
That's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. But I really began singing as a means for writing and writing these songs. And since I was young, I've really had this love of putting words together. And I probably, and when people ask me about my influences, I probably read more than I listen to music. And when I'm writing, I tend to be reading and reading and reading. And I love poetry and lyrical writing. And so when I began playing music, it really was, I started learning guitar because I really wanted to put words together in the form of songs. And luckily, I discovered that my voice wasn't so bad, and to my surprise, I was able to sing, and it just really slowly, kind of slowly came out of my shell over the last couple of years of college, and then when I moved to Portland, it took me a long time to really think of myself as a musician and as a songwriter.
Well, you're wonderfully talented at it, but your voice is so unique, and that gets an awful lot of attention. Critics like to write about it. How do you describe your voice?
Oh, man, that's the toughest question. I mean, a lot of people, I would just, you know, I have my own understanding of my voice because I hear it from inside my head or something. But a lot of people have said it's whispery. And sometimes I'll get compared to maybe older jazz musicians, which I can understand. I think there's a similar exploration and similar maybe some similar sounds that
One of my colleagues mentioned he feels that it sounds a little like reminiscent of Billie Holiday.
Have you heard that before? Yeah. And it's funny because I never really, when I was starting to sing, I hadn't really listened to a lot of old jazz music or these old singers, but I think a lot of it just came from me singing to myself in the car and at home and really exploring what my voice feels like in my throat and in my mouth and how I can affect it in different ways.
Let's hear another example of that voice and those wonderful lyrics. What would you like to do next?
We'll do a song called The Fire.
The Fire, okay.
Are you carried by a restless wind? Does it saddle you with brave ideas? With battle scars and souvenirs to hang across your shoulder blades? Oh, if you're hot as the sun, I will not question your ways. Oh, if you're hot as the sun, be not afraid of the fire. The shape of bodies galloping, follow every song you sing.
Just rings. What a great song. That's called The Fire.
Yeah.
By Laura Gibson from the brand new CD called La Grande. I'm going to say La Grande, but.
Yeah. You could say it whatever way you want.
I mentioned at the beginning, at the introduction, that You are a favorite of NPR listeners, and I know that your video is on NPR's First Watch, and you were interviewed on World Cafe at the end of February, and you were the very first Tiny Desk concert.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Yeah, well, you know, it's such a funny story. I happened at South by Southwest 4 years ago, and I was playing my showcase, and it was just me in this really crazy loud room full of people, and it was St. Patrick's Day, and people could kind of wander in off the street, and so people just came in that weren't really, probably because I was the quietest bar, the bar where I was playing was the quietest part, just because I was singing, so it filled up with all these people chatting, and they couldn't really crank the sound up any higher, and so mid-set, I was really feeling discouraged, like, why did I even come down here? This is, I don't, you know, just those, all those thoughts you tell yourself when something isn't going well. And I looked out and I saw Bob Boylan and Stephen Thompson from NPR Music in the audience. And after the show, I went down and chatted with them, and they said, "We have this idea. We'd love for you to play at Bob's desk sometime." And and so I happened to be going to Washington, D.C. 3 weeks later, and worked out perfectly. I stopped in and we tried this crazy experiment, and it's gone on, and we just were back to play the 200th Tiny Desk concert a few weeks ago. And
it is wonderful. I saw the 200th, and we'll put a link to that on our website and also on our Facebook page. But are you an NPR listener, a public radio listener?
Yeah, since I was young, I grew up listening to Jefferson Public Radio in Southern Oregon, and then now always listen to OPB in Port, based out of Portland. And yeah, I listen to public radio so often. It's really fun. The visit to NPR, the big studio in Washington, D.C. was really exciting, just to see faces and put faces to the names that and the voices that I've heard for so long.
We love to hear that. And I'm not surprised that public radio listeners are drawn to your music. There's so much for, we know our listeners like to read a little more. They are thoughtful and they love to hear.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be making a living playing music now if it wasn't for that incredible support. So
great. Well, on that note, let's make time for at least one more song. What would you like to finish up with?
We'll finish up with one of the quieter ones from the record. This one's called Crow Swallow.
Crow Swallow.
And I wrote this song during an artist residency in the Mount Hood Wilderness. And so, of course, I was surrounded by nature on all sides, and trees and birds. And so happened to make their way into the song and the imagery. My mind may drift from the walls of my skin, but I will not wander too far. For those who are pulled by the ivory sun, oh, that home is a labor of fire. And I have nursed their honey bright wounds and cradled their rhythms to rest, but I am no dreamer. I could not keep my so I will not grieve those bent to receive seeds that could never be sown. And I will not lust those courtesies past, they have flickered but not chosen me. And when they march by in their motherly smile, swaying their motherly hips, I cannot follow home. I cannot keep their hair pace.
Time has a way of stealing our breath and milking the life from our pores. And many will fill their oak barrel pools with patience instead of desire. But one cannot curse a crow for her course or choose where her feathers may fall. I am no swallow. I am no spring bird.
Crow Swallow, Laura Gibson. And that was remarkable, just a beautiful. I've never heard a classical guitar, nylon string guitar, paired with a flugelhorn. That's an unusual arrangement, and it just works beautifully.
Oh, thank
just
you.
Just gorgeous
so much.
Texture. Yeah, lovely. If you'd like information about Laura's new CD, it's called LaGrande, L-A-G-R-A-N-D-E, and you can find information at lauragibsonmusic.com, and that's yes. L-A-U-R-A. And, well, we're really grateful that you've made some time. I know you've been very, very busy. And
oh, gosh, well, it's my pleasure to be here.
Thanks for sharing your time and talent with Wisconsin Public Radio listeners. We sure appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's a great state, and I'm happy to visit.
Great. Well, thanks for coming in. And in addition to Laura Gibson, we also heard from Brian Perez, who was he plays lap steel and bass guitar, but today, vocals and tambourine. Matt Berger was the percussionist. John Whaley was the flugelhorn player and the pianist. Laura Gibson was playing guitar and singing her marvelous songs. And we also had some engineering help, lots of engineering help, from Brad Coleman, Brittany DeAnda, Tom Blaine, and also thanks very much to Jeffrey Potter. I'm Stephanie Elkins. This is Simply Folk. I'm back with more music in just a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio.